10 bikini-clad women lounge beside the blue water of an outdoor pool. A caption reads, Los Angeles, temperature 72 degrees.
La mer.
LA's hazy skyline sprawls across the background. A helicopter tows a giant hot dog and bun balloon. From below, a woman waves. Titles appear. Mario Casar presents a Daniel Melnick indie prod LA Films production, starring Steve Martin and Victoria Tennant in LA Story. Identical water sprinklers line the lawns of suburban homes. The occupants, clad in pajama and robe ensembles, spring in unison across their yards, reaching for the morning paper with a ballet-like sweep of their arms. Next, a montage of funky LA architecture. A yellow plastic sculpture of a nude woman reclines along a roof. A pair of flipper-clad legs sprouts from a chimney. Now, a pedestrian street sign blinks in green, like walk, changing to a flashing red, like don't walk. A man sporting flip-flops and shorts carries home a Christmas tree in the glaring sunlight. More titles, also starring Richard E. Grant, Mary Lou Henner, Sarah Jessica Parker, Susan Forrestal, Sam McMurray, Kevin Pollak. A tow truck pulls a white limousine while a well-dressed man in the back seat talks obliviously on a cellular phone. Four cars roll to a stop at an intersection, each driver politely waving for the others to go first. Suddenly, all of the cars move forward and slam together. More titles, written by Steve Martin, produced by Daniel Melnick and Michael Rackmill, directed by Mick Jackson. Now, a freeway's digital road sign reads, Clear Sailing. A zebra-striped van whizzes by, followed by a spray-painted four-door with a turbaned head on the roof. A license plate reads, O2B in L.A. A man walks by wearing a gas mask. A sign declares, Libra parking only. An elderly couple's feet shuffle along the sidewalk, aided by a walker and three-pronged cane. They toss the equipment into the back seat of a red Ferrari, don sunglasses, and blast off.
My name is Harris K. Tellemacher. I live in Los Angeles, and I've had 7 heart attacks, all imagined.
He rides a stationary bike.
That is to say, I was deeply unhappy, but I didn't know it because I was so happy all the time.
He rides in a park with other stationary bikers. A sign reads, Stationary Bike Riding Park. No running.
I have a favorite quote about L.A. by William Shakespeare. He said, This other Eden, demi-paradise, this precious stone set in the silver sea, this earth, this realm, this Los Angeles. Anyway, this is what happened to me, and I swear it's all true.
Watch out, L.A. It's major gridlock out there this morning. Big holdups on all the freeways and service streets are dark.
Later, the 40-ish silver-haired Harris gets in his car, sets the timer on his watch, and drives onto the sidewalk, bypassing traffic. Neighbors wave as he follows a driveway, shoots past a family having breakfast in the backyard, then bursts through a hedge. He checks his hair in the rearview mirror. A gas station attendant sets his watch as Harris cuts across the corner lot. As he cruises through back alleys, he clamps a curling iron around a lock of hair. His car emerges from a tunnel and enters the shallow waters of an aqueduct, then scales the sandy soil of a neighboring hillside. Harris sings along with the radio, smiling, his silver hair and dark sunglasses neatly in place. Airborne, the car bounces down the outdoor stairs of an apartment complex. Bumping along, Harris removes his sunglasses to smooth the skin beneath his eyes. He continues down a grassy median strip past a sprinkler which washes the dirt from his car. Entering a television studio lot, he salutes the guard on duty. His parking space reads reserved, Harris K. Tellemacher. He turns off his timer and smiles, later in a studio.
No.
Hurry is the perfect situation. I'm telling you, would you raise
your hand? I can't be in a parade. Yes, I'm in the news. You're not going to see Diane Sawyer or Dan Rather in the Hollywood Day Parade.
No, there's 15 seconds to air.
Oh, 15 seconds. I mean, what good is it going to do me to stand in a convertible and wave at people?
It's going to make you beloved.
Waving is not what I do best. It looks fake. I get the hand going and it doesn't.
That's a great way.
Look, I have to maintain some dignity. People have to respect me so they'll believe what I'm telling them. This is news.
This is truth.
Now, Harris Tellmacher with his report.
Hey, it's time for the wacky weekend weather.
Harris wears a hat and splashy vest.
Now, let's take a look at our weather map. We're going to have a low. Coming in over Pasadena. Sorry, that's Pasadena. We'll have a low here. No, it'll be down there. And we were going to have some clouds in Beverly Hills, but the council decided against it, so there'll be no rain in Beverly Hills. We'll just have some sun, and here's some snow, and possibly 72 and snow. So that's what we'll have. And now, the car phone report. Sunspot activity is at a minimum this week, so those of you with car phones will have little or no interference. So go ahead and make that big, important call. You probably won't be disconnected. And that's my report. Gail and Bob?
Harris, somebody told me you have a PhD in arts and humanities.
Oh, yes, I do.
A lot of good it did you.
Later, with a producer.
Harris, what's wacky?
What's wacky?
What's wacky about your last weather forecast?
You kidding? It was pretty wacky.
No, not wacky.
Not wacky?
Yes, that's what we brought with you.
Yes.
You're doing some kind of intellectual stuff out there.
Intellectual stuff? Maybe it's intellectual to you because you were educated with a banana and an inner tube. Are you kidding? That's an intellectual free zone.
More wacky, less egghead.
More wacky, less egghead. Thanks a lot. Let me make a note of that. More wacky, less egghead. Let's see. What was your name again?
Later, in his girlfriend Trudy's apartment.
We're late, are we?
It's only 1 o'clock.
That's what time we're supposed to be there. You know, it's my mistake. If I say lunch is at 1, then I figure if I get here at 12:40, we'll get there in plenty of time, which is fine. But what I don't count on is the 20 minutes of abstract busyness that goes on after I get here.
I'm doing 30-minute lips. Besides, they can wait. It's not going to kill them.
You know what I can't figure out is that you look ready. I mean, you look so ready that I get ready. And I get up and I stand by the door and I get out my keys. And then after I stand there about 10 minutes, I realize you weren't ready at all. So I sit back down. Then I get another feeling that you're ready. And I get up and I straighten my clothes. And then I realize you just gave off an illusion of being ready that I interpreted as not being an illusion. I'll be in the car.
Waiting in the driver's seat, he squeezes his eyes closed in frustration.
Sitting there at that moment, I thought of something else Shakespeare said. He said, hey, life is pretty stupid, with lots of hubbub to keep you busy, but really not amounting to much. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. Life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing.
A white cat on a ledge stares intently at Harris. Trudy appears, sauntering down the building's tiled stairs, dressed in a different outfit. She pauses, regally folds her arms, and waits, one eyebrow arched. Harris lurches out of the car to open her door.
Look nice.
You like this one better?
Yeah.
I could change.
No, that's right. Tell me again who we're having lunch with.
Friends and friends of friends. And some of my gift service clients. Frank will be there.
Frank? I just saw Frank. You know what? He wanted me to be in a parade. I mean, if it weren't impossible for me to fire people, I'd get somebody else, somebody like Harry Zell.
He turns on his radio.
It's 1:20 now, 20 minutes past the hour.
They pass a man staring up at a digital freeway sign which reads Freeway Clear.
It's the first day of spring, the spring equinox, which of course means...
What did he say?
This is the end of...
He said it's the first day of spring.
Shit. Open season on the L.A. freeway. Where is it? Look in the glove compartment.
A truck swerves toward them.
Hey,
is it loaded?
It's just two bullets in it.
It's loaded. Hurry.
Get over. What's the matter?
See these old ones? Do bullets go bad?
No. It's not like milk. They don't have expiration date or anything. Hurry.
Here.
Don't point it at me.
Sorry. I don't know gun etiquette.
Whoa.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
The trucker levels a shotgun at their car. Harris returns fire, riddling the truck's cargo of water bottles.
Better not ruin our brunch.
Reload!
Okay, all right.
Hey,
Harris swerves toward another car.
Get him, Cocker!
Bullets ricochet off Harris's car.
Did I leave my blue pants at your apartment?
Yeah, I took them to the cleaner.
He casually returns fire. Later, they enter an outdoor restaurant decked with palm trees.
I'm not going to kiss anyone hello anymore. I hate that.
Just shake hands with them.
Are you kidding? I just washed my hands and some guy feels like he's been squashing caterpillars. Cowles, party of 10?
Yes. You the first ones to arrive. Right this way, please.
Wearing a smug smile, the maitre d' sweeps past them. Trudy glares at Harris. Later, they greet their friends. Harris double kisses the cheeks of various men and women as they arrive, a strained smile stretching his face. Trudy greets each newcomer with an ecstatic hug.
We saw it together.
So, yeah. I see the film, and I'm going to give it an 8 or a 7, I don't know. Because I'm leaving the parking lot, I realize that Thurlow, the producer, got this incredibly good space right by the exit, and they put me far away in the back end. Do I go on the air that night? I give it a 3.
Good for you.
Sheila has been studying the art of conversation.
Oh, you're taking a course in conversation?
Yes.
Sheila stares flatly. Harris blinks, puzzled. He chews thoughtfully, then nods.
One of the first things I always teach my clients is about the point system.
Oh, yeah.
You should never have more than 7 things on. You know, like your earrings count for 2 points, those daisies count for 3 points. But the best thing to do is right before you go out, look in the mirror and turn around real fast. And the first thing that catches your eye, get rid of it.
That's how I got it.
Get rid of it. I mean, I had this thing in my hair before I left, remember? And I pulled it right out, because as soon as I turned, gone. Marilyn Monroe did that.
Whatever you do, don't get dumped in L.A. Oh, I mean, it's not like New York where you can meet someone walking down the street.
I know. In L.A., you practically have to hit someone with your car. In fact, I know girls who speed just to meet cops.
We met on a hit in West Hollywood.
A crew-cut policeman points to his date, a bleach blonde woman with a bandage across her nose. A woman appears behind palm fronds. She wears a baggy linen jacket and frumpy straw hat with flowers.
And I want them to die.
There's Sarah.
Yes,
Sarah's here.
An impeccably dressed man beckons her. Spotting him, she gives an energetic wave and walks eagerly toward the table. Trudy cranes her neck to give Sarah a suspicious once-over.
Because they're people.
They are not.
Oh, please.
I thought you were lost. Come in. Let me sit you down. Let me introduce you. This is Sarah McDowell, Harris, Trudy.
Hello.
Frank Swan.
Hello.
Sharon.
Hello. How do you do?
This is Sylvia.
Sarah just got off a plane from London.
Oh, you must be exhausted.
I am. I'm shattered, but it's nothing that some sleep and a good fuck wouldn't cure, as my sister used to say.
Harris's eyes widen. Trudy's smile freezes.
You have to forgive Sarah. She has a bad
family. I'm sorry, I didn't mean... It was just a figure of speech.
She tried to suppress it,
but sometimes
things just fly out.
I've been on a plane for 12 hours next to a crying baby.
Oh, that's bad.
So, what do you give the flight?
What?
You know, on a scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, an 8.
What would you like to eat?
What kind of food do they have?
California cuisine.
And these goddamn wrong number dialers.
And you're
the hell do we do about them?
Sarah, what do you do?
I'm here writing an article about Los Angeles for the London Times.
Well, you've come to the right place.
She shares a bright smile with Harris.
What do you do for a living, Raleigh?
Yeah. I deal in English paintings.
Abstract or realistic?
Depends on which way you look at it, I suppose.
Wine glasses shake as a pyramid of cream puffs topples.
What's this?
Wait, how strong is it, Harris? I give it a 4.
They continue talking obliviously. A woman seated at a dinner table slides across the floor.
So, when an executive or a business person needs a gift for someone, I get to go shopping and I pick out something that's appropriate. In fact, I gifted, right? Sherman Lee and Rosenquist's entire office last Christmas.
Sherman and Lee, I think I received something from them. A stun gun.
Oh, that was me!
You did the stun gun.
Yes, monogrammed.
Oh, great.
Did you get it monogrammed? Because that was...
Sarah notices a couple at the next table. Just married, the woman wears a bridal gown with a voluminous white veil. The groom is dressed in a black cutaway tuxedo. Harris watches Sarah's pensive gaze. Drinking from her glass, she spills some water. Harris offers her a napkin.
Napkin?
She uses her own and smiles ruefully.
Keep thinking I'm a grown-up, but I'm not.
Harris smiles in sympathy. Trudy wryly notices the exchange.
I'll have a decaf coffee.
I'll have a decaf espresso.
I'll have a double decaf cappuccino.
Give me decaffeinated coffee ice cream.
I'll have a half double decaffeinated half cap with a twist of lemon.
I'll have a twist of lemon.
I'll have a twist of lemon.
I'll have a twist of lemon, please.
I'll have a twist of lemon.
Waiters' hands scramble frantically, pulling lemons from a produce crate.
As far as I'm concerned, there are only three mystical places in the world. The desert just outside Santa Fe, New Mexico. The Tree of Life in the Arab Emirate of Bahrain. And the restaurant at the corner of Sunset and Crescent. Because that's where I first met her, and that's where I first touched her.
As they disperse, Harris gives Sarah's shoulder a gentle squeeze. Later, Harris leaves with Trudy.
Isn't that girl Sarah awful? I mean, what's with that accent?
She has an accent because she's English.
Or maybe she's just trying to impress everybody.
Oh, like that big phony Winston Churchill.
Sarah with Roland.
About what you said in there.
What?
About getting some sleep and having a bath.
Oh, dear. Listen, if I say that sort of thing again, tie me up and gag me.
Well, we tried that once, but you started laughing, I remember.
Leave off, Roland. Go on, there's a dear.
You've come all this way. I'm so grateful to you. We really should give it another try.
But I'm completely happy the way things are. I'm finally getting my life sorted out.
I'm so passionate about you. Damn all convention. Let me take you for a hot dog on Sunday.
Your ticket, please.
Oh, it's the cream thingy there.
It's late. I've got to go.
Roland leaves. Sarah finds her own car. Now, Harris with Trudy.
And she kept her hat on all through brunch. I'm sure she has bad hair.
You know, I don't think you understand how unattractive hate is.
Excuse me. Hello? Oh. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do people here get up early or late?
It depends. Why?
Well, if a person were to be making a lot of noise, what time could they start?
What kind of noise? Like construction?
No, like deep sustained booming sounds.
Ah, deep sustained booming sounds. Around 9:15.
Great, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Trudy fakes a smile and wiggles her fingers goodbye. Harris watches, mouth agape, as Sarah roars off, driving on the wrong side of the road. Staring after her, he climbs into his car and pulls away from the curb.
She's used to driving on the left.
Harris backs up and stumbles out. Trudy stands at the curb, hands on her hips. He scrambles to open her door.
I'm sorry. I was just concentrating on.
Yeah, I know what you were concentrating on.
Hey, babe. Good to know you. Bandage
to distraction. An aerial view reveals a clothing store with a disco decor. Large white-lettered signs reading "Now" hang high on the walls. Blue lights bathe the hip shoppers. Trudy flings dresses and shirts into her shopping cart. Harris looks uneasily over the chest-high walls of the unisex dressing booths, seeing women on either side of him. He exits wearing a pair of baggy white trousers. The door to a woman's booth stands ajar as she pulls a shirt over her head, revealing her bare breasts. Harris stares, breathing hard.
Do you like those?
Yes. Oh, sorry, what, huh?
Your pants. You want me to mark them for you?
Oh, I don't know. Are these the same price as these other ones?
Nope, these are a little bit more.
How do I look in these?
The perky young clerk dances around him, patting his pants. His eyes bug.
You look fabulous in these.
Okay, mark them.
Okay.
Harris looks down at her bulging breasts.
You have to stand up straight or they won't be right.
Right.
Do you like a break in them?
A little.
About like that?
That's fine.
She lies on her back, sliding her measuring tape up the length of his leg into his crotch.
Nice.
Okay.
When can I pick these up?
Just about any time you want. It's Wednesday, all right?
Yeah, fine.
She smiles engagingly.
I'll just slip out of these.
Okay.
L.A. at twilight. The darkened skyline stretches behind highways streaming with red and white car lights. Harris and Trudy drive home in stony silence. The car's engine dies. He glides off the road, stopping by a digital road sign which flashes freeway clear.
There are two events in my life that I consider to be magical, that couldn't be explained scientifically. The first of them was about to happen.
Harris climbs out of Trudy's Mercedes and lifts the hood while she stays seated in the car, studying the tilt of her hat in the visor's mirror. A wind shifts the leaves of a weeping willow behind them. Suddenly, the lighted sign goes black. Noticing the darkness, Harris slowly turns around. The sign flashes, "Hiya." Harris frowns and returns his attention to the car engine. Harris whips around as the light bulbs explode, then miraculously regroup to spell, "I said, Hiya." Bewildered, Harris points to himself, eyebrows raised skeptically.
"Hi. Ruach? Don't make me waste letters. Are you okay?" "Oh, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine."
The sign says, "Hug me."
"What?"
"I said, hug me."
"Who are you?"
"I'm a signpost."
"I can see that."
The sign reads, "Hug me."
"I'm being filmed. I know I am being filmed."
The message changes to "please." Harris looks around self-consciously.
"All right."
He hesitantly embraces the wide gray post, pressing his cheek hard against the metal. The sign responds, "That felt good."
"Is this a joke or something? I see people in trouble, and I stop them. L.A. wants to help you. How am I in trouble?"
Harris's head whips toward his car. His lights flood on.
"So what do I do?" "You will know what to do when you unscramble how Daddy is doing." "What?"
It's a riddle.
Oh, do it again. "You will know what to do when you unscramble how Daddy is doing." "Well, I'll work on it. Bye."
"Bye."
He climbs back into the car.
"The sign spoke to me. Said I was in trouble."
"You're talking signs. You are in trouble."
Palm trees stand in silhouette against the indigo sky. A crescent moon hangs above the hills as Harris and Trudy drive past the sign, now dark. Back home, he dutifully jogs around the car to open Trudy's door, then trots back to let her into the driver's seat.
"So, I'll see you Sunday?"
"I got a shower Sunday."
"Oh, yeah, and I really should take a bath. Monday?"
"Pick me up at 8:30.
8:30? Doesn't anyone eat at 6 anymore?"
Harris kisses the air as Trudy abruptly pulls the car away.
"Shh, quiet, 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 it's me, quiet."
He punches in the security code to his house.
"Oh, will you be quiet?"
He pushes a stop button.
"Hi, doggy." "Ooh. Who's Daddy? Who's Daddy?"
The scene changes to a searing yellow sun arcing rapidly upwards behind palm trees. Shadows pull away to reveal Harris's two-story stucco home, glowing warmly in morning light. Inside, Harris sleeps, a calico cat curled against his belly. The sun continues to move, flowing through a slatted wood fence and into a window of Sarah's house. She sleeps in a graceful wrought iron bed, then sits up, removing a black eye shade. Meanwhile, Harris wakes, groggily pulls a blood pressure cuff over his bicep, pumps the ball, then reads the gauge. Later, he stands in the shower, enveloped in steam. Soap suds stream over his face. In her own shower, Sarah strokes her hands over her wet hair and caresses her shoulder as she rapturously turns her face to the flowing water. Harris adjusts his shower as the water suddenly dwindles. Now, a deluge of mail shoots through the letter slot at Harris's front door. From the kitchen, he irritatedly kicks a wastebasket underneath the opening where it catches the streaming mail. In her sunroom, Sarah meditatively raises a tuba's mouthpiece to her lips.
Block in North Hollywood had to
Harris reads the instruction manual for a high-tech answering machine.
The cargo door of a low-flying aircraft bearing the tennis balls
ready.
Above the community and
Mom,
15,000
say
bright
name
balls
again.
Surprising
Mom,
residents.
Say name again.
And what a surprise this weekend when the weather turned unseasonably low. Here's Harris Tellmacher, our wacky weatherman, with the report.
And when the weather dropped down to 58 degrees this weekend, how did you cope?
We just made sure all the windows were shut.
And what about your pets? Were they outside? What happened?
Well, the cats were out till around 10, but it got a little too cold for them, and they came in.
The cats were out until around 10, but it got a little too cold for them, and they came in. Well, that's how L.A. coped with that surprise low of 58 degrees that turned the weekend into a real weenie shrinker.
Sarah smirks while watching.
And now, the toupee report. Winds 5 to 10 miles an hour, gusting to 15 miles an hour in the late afternoon. So I would either stay indoors or wear a hat. This is Harris K. Tellmacher with the Wiggy Weekend Weather.
Sarah copies the phrase into a reporter's notebook under Harris's name.
Hello, this is Harris. I'm in right now, so you can talk to me personally. Please start talking at the sound of the beep.
Hello?
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 Is this a person?
Yes, it is a person.
Harris Tellmacher?
Yes.
Oh, this is Sarah McDowell. I don't know if you remember me. We met at lunch.
Oh, yeah. You're the reporter.
Journalist, yes. And you're the weatherman.
Meteorologist, yeah.
I hope you don't mind me calling. I just got your number from Trudy Cowles. I was watching you on TV, and I'd love to interview you for my piece.
Oh, English, French, or Italian?
Gosh, you speak all those languages?
No, if it were Italian or French, I'd be out of it.
Later, Sarah aims at her dartboard and misses.
Bugger!
Ready. Dial Mom.
Domino's Pizza, this is Julian. Our specials for today are California pizza with
Sorry.
Your choice of...
Harris leaves his house and gets into his car. A plush Garfield cat is stuck to the outside of his rear window. He drives along the length of the curb to the house next door.
Want some trail mix? Fruit? Cookies?
Ariel, how do you stay thin with all this food you have around here?
I don't know. I guess women just burn fat faster than men do.
That's a disgusting notion. Yeah, it's my friend. Smart, pretty, and quite a little fat burner.
You're just jealous.
No, no. I could never be a woman, because I just stay home and play with my breasts all day. Where's June?
In her room, recovering from the after effects of alcohol. Want some juice?
Sure.
You can be my taster. It's a new mixture for the shop.
Ariel answers the phone.
Hello? This is Ariel. Uh-huh. Hey, kiddo, what's up?
He sips, then puckers and grimaces wildly.
Sounds like a job for Supergirl.
It's exactly like licking a shag carpet.
Okay, I'll bring the stuff down in about an hour. Bye. It's great being the boss. Will you take your car so I can leave mine for June?
Sure.
June drags in.
Boy, are you gonna have a rough day. There's coffee in there.
Hey, Harris, God, am I stupid.
Have some juice.
I'll make you some eggs. Can you hold on a sec, Harris?
Sure, the museum doesn't close till 5.
Harris pours his remaining juice on a houseplant. Downtown, white letters type, Los Angeles County Museum of Art, Sunday, March 25th, 2:37 p.m. Inside, Harris and Ariel stand in a gallery waiting. They glance around warily, look at each other, and nod. Harris pops out wheels hidden in the sides of his sneakers, forming roller skates. Ariel holds up a video camera as he places a white fedora on his head. Ariel films him as he rolls past sculptures and oil paintings, his arms swinging like an Olympic speed skater. He pirouettes in front of the horrified person in the painting, The Scream. A marble statue twists as he passes. The petals on Van Gogh's sunflowers rustle as he whizzes past. Sweeping through the last doorway, he squats on one skate and tips his hat. Later, they run outside.
I call it performance art, but my friend Ariel calls it wasting time. History will decide.
Another morning, the sun roars into the sky. Harris parks his car in front of his house. Driving on the wrong side of the road, Sarah brakes and gently collides with his bumper.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on time.
Actually, I'm late.
You're exactly on time.
But I had planned to be early.
Huh? Hey,
Harris
stop.
Stumbles.
No, no,
Sarah
stop.
Takes pictures.
Let me pose, at least. Oh, listen, I had this idea, you know, rather than do an interview with...
Hang
on. Rather than do an interview with me, you know, which would be fascinating, by the way, because of the, you know, interesting word usements I structure, you know, I thought that I'd show you around town a little bit, you know, a few kind of secret places and a kind of a cultural tour of L.A.
That's the first 15 minutes. Then what?
All right, a cynic. First stop is 6 blocks from here.
Why don't we walk?
Walk? A walk in L.A.
They drive in his car.
Architecture. Some of these buildings are over 20 years old. This house over here is Greek Revival, and they have to revive the Greek every morning who lives in it. And here's a Tudor mansion and a four-door mansion. You know, you're really nobody in L.A. unless you live in a house with a really big door. I'll take you on over to the Museum of Musicology.
Verdi's baton. Mozart's quill. Beethoven's balls.
Two fleshy organs rest in a beaker. Sarah blinks quizzically.
Come on, I'll take you over to the graveyard. Lots of famous people are buried here. Rocky Marciano, Benny Goodman, and of course, William Shakespeare. I think he wrote Hamlet Part 8, The Revenge here.
Harris and Sarah look in the direction of a bulldozer. A grave digger hops into a large hole, shovel in hand.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Whose grave is this?
Mine?
No, I think he means who's going to be buried here. What's his name?
It's not a he, miss.
All right, she.
Not a woman either. Used to be a woman, now she's dead.
Finally, a funny gravedigger.
Want to know how long it takes a body to rot?
Boy, do we.
Well, if they're not already rotten before they die, 8 or 9 years. Some of them Beverly Hills women, though, they'll last you 12 years, they will.
How come?
Well, the skin is so tan. It's all stretched and polished up like a bloody shoe. That'll keep the water out. And water's the thing that'll ruin a perfectly good dead body, it will. Also, they got them extra parts, you know? Some of that stuff, it's not biodegradable.
He finds a skull.
Oh, now... Here's a bloke that's been around for 35 years, I bet.
Who is he?
There's the magician, the great Blunderman. Not so great now, is he?
Harris takes the skull in his hands.
Great Blunderman. I knew him. He was a funny guy. He taught me magic.
A fellow of infinite jest.
Yeah.
That's it.
He hath borne me on his back 1,000 times.
She knows. She's got it.
Where be your jibes now? Your flashes of merriment that would set the table on a roar?
Ordinarily, I don't like to be around interesting people because it means I have to be interesting, too.
Are you saying I'm interesting?
All I'm saying is that when I'm around you, I find myself showing off, which is the idiot's version of being interesting. Are you seeing anyone now?
Yeah.
Me too, so that's sort of out.
Can I have your friend's head back then?
Sure. Sorry. I should get to work.
Me too.
Bye.
Bye.
Cheers. Come back! They all do! Don't they?
Hey, hey, hey! What a weekend! We've got sun, earth, and atmosphere, and when you've got that, you've got weather! Good weather! Sun! 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 Yes, it's going to... Wow! It's got my watch! Turn off the magnet!
He unstraps his watch from the magnetic map.
Jeez.
Okay, we got it.
Turn off the magnet!
And now, the financial report. 89 Mercedes, up $400 at $28,640. Used 88 Mercedes, unchanged, at $26,100. And cut.
Okay, let's run it back, see what we've got.
You'll run that for me on Saturday, Jesse?
Harris, should you really be pre-taping the weather report?
The weekends are very tough for me to come in. You can imagine my busy weekend schedule. Besides, this is L.A. What's going to change?
A hard rain dances on the asphalt. Car tires slice through the water-covered streets. Behind windshield wipers, Harris shakes his head in disbelief. A sign for the Now clothing store appears through the rain.
There are two reasons for the ridiculous detour I was about to embark on.
So I'll see you tomorrow. Right. Thanks.
The perky sales clerk locks the store's door.
Are you closed?
Yeah, sorry.
The first reason was I believed a relationship with Sarah was impossible.
Wow. Oh.
And the second reason was,
wow,
I was a big, dumb male.
I just came to pick up some pants.
Yeah?
You sold me a pair of pants and a tie thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember. You just want to pick them up?
Yeah.
Well, I can get them for you.
Oh, that'd be great. Save me coming back.
Wouldn't it be so bad if you had to come back?
Oh, well, I don't have my ticket.
That's okay. I remember what they look like. Right back. Okay. Oh, God, I'm getting all wet. Woo! I'll be right back.
She spins playfully in the rain, then heads inside. Harris checks his reflection in the window. The sales clerk skips through the door.
They're not ready yet. Do you want us to call you when they are?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
What's the number?
Oh, I'll write it. Do you have any paper?
No. Here.
She wipes her wet hand down the front of Harris's shirt. Then he writes his number on her palm.
Okay. Okay, so I'll have him call you when they're ready. I'll probably just be tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
She spins in a circle, her short skirt flipping around her, then skips happily away. Harris stares after her. Nighttime on the freeway. Harris passes the digital road sign, which is blinking carpool. He does a double take as the sign changes to, you should have got her number. He frowns, then sighs. Back home, Harris stands at the window with his cat. Using a magic marker, he inks the words, bored beyond belief, onto the glass.
Expecting a call?
Later at the Hard Rock Cafe.
Wow, babe.
Harris and the sales clerk sit at a table.
Were you shocked?
Shocked, but glad.
Well, I could tell that you wanted to ask me for my number, so I just asked for yours.
But I didn't know I wanted your number until it was too late.
Well, I went to this psychic once. I mean, I don't really believe in that stuff. But he told me that I have this special fifth sense about things.
I mean about guys wanting your number. I figure that you, just any guy would want your number.
Oh, that's sweet.
Hey, wacky weather guy. How you doing?
I can't help but be nervous out here.
Why? You're not doing anything wrong.
I mean, you must have a boyfriend.
Oh, he doesn't care. I mean, he can't care. He gave me this big speech about, you know, how even though we live together still, he thinks that we should be able to see other people. So I said, you know, that's okay. But it backfires on him every once in a while.
Where is he now?
He's over there at the bar.
What?
Don't worry about it. This is his idea.
Are you kidding?
This is him.
Oh, stop it.
Right here.
Oh, God.
Go.
Hi.
Do you have my phone number?
No. I don't want your number. That would be a disaster. If I had your number, I might call you.
It's 555-2312. Say it back.
No, stop. I don't want to know it.
555-2312.
Stop. You're going to make me memorize it. No.
555-2312.
Jeez, now I know it. 555-2312. What was your name again?
Sandy.
I'm sorry, Sandy. It's a nice name. Everybody has such weird names now. It's like Tiffany with a P-H-I, and instead of Nancy, it's Nancine.
Big S, small A, small M, big D, small E, big E.
What?
Big S, small A, small M, big D, small E, big E.
She writes it on his hand.
Big S, small A, small N, big D, small E, big E.
Then there's a little star at the end.
She draws a heart around her name. He studies her, entranced, until she slurps her milkshake.
You made me cry.
They leave the cafe just as Harris's agent, Frank, and Trudy enter from a different direction. Now, Harris and Sandy approach an outdoor bank machine.
When I got out of class, I decided to call you.
What class are you taking?
I'm studying to be a spokesmodel.
What is a spokesmodel?
It's just a model who speaks, you know, and she points at things like merchandise, you know, like a car or washer and dryer. Sometimes it's something really small, you know, like a book or fine art print.
They have classes for that?
Yeah, because it's a lot harder than it looks.
Hi, my name is Bob. I'll be your robber.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you very much.
How long are the classes?
About 3 hours.
What made you want to be a spokesmodel?
Oh, well, I always like pointing.
Sarah and Roland at a hot dog stand.
So why won't you sleep with me?
People don't sleep with their ex-husbands.
No, it happens all the time. Who knows, it might be just like it was.
No, Roland, that would be terrible.
Oh, come on, Sarah. We're a perfect match.
Just because my mother hunts with your mother doesn't make us a perfect match.
That's not what I'm saying, for God's sakes. Your mother shot my
mother.
That's
so unfair. It was an accident.
With a 12-bore shotgun.
It was only in the foot.
You're the only normal one in the family, and you're just barely hanging on. Remember when your mother found out whose dog it was that kept crapping in the front of the house?
She
put their name on a little flag and stuck it into the center of the pile? These are not things grown-ups do. I'm the only sane thing in your life.
Yes, possibly.
I want you back. I'll cook for you, I'll sew for you. Just give me one weekend with you. We'll go away and see how it is. Will you come?
Her eyes follow nearby skaters.
I went roller skating once. At the Brooklyn Rollerdrome. It was awful. I was completely out of control. I couldn't stop and I couldn't turn. And I went slamming into this 8-foot-tall black guy in an emerald green satin jumpsuit with matching skates. And I said, oh, I'm terribly sorry. Could you help me? And he looked down at me with deeply stoned eyes. And he said, little lady, let your mind go and your body will follow.
Transfixed, Roland drops his hot dog. He grabs Sarah's shoulders and kisses her passionately. She stares blankly.
Well, how was that?
It was very nice. Thanks.
Now, Harris and Sandy.
Well, I hope I wasn't too young in my thinking for you.
What?
Joke.
Oh. Hi, Julie.
Hey, Sandy.
I don't put any pressure on you, do I?
Not at all. I don't pressure you, do I?
No, I just don't think there should be any pressure.
No, tell me if I pressure you.
Okay, and you too, but, you know, don't feel like you have to.
She spins toward him.
Have you ever had a high colonic?
Pardon me?
A high colonic.
You mean an enema?
Yeah.
I keep waiting for you to say joke.
Oh, they're great. I mean, they really purify you. There's this place in Santa Monica that do it. Oh, they're great.
Huh. This where you live?
Yeah, here.
She leads him to her doorway.
It's really groovy. Well, good night.
Good night.
She removes her chewing gum and kisses him. Two painted angels, lips puckered, blow kisses from a mural above. Sandy spins and dips her knees. A strand of light bulbs glows against her building. A juggler tosses flaming batons. Morning. Harris reads the paper.
Hello?
Take me off that goddamn speakerphone.
Relax. It's just a modern-day device.
I have to see you.
You were with someone else last night?
Yes.
There was no shower?
There was. I can go at the last minute.
Having sex with my agent again. I have told you 1,000 times.
How did you know?
I was right? I was making a bad joke. My agent, Frank? And this is how I find out? You tell me?
Oh, he isn't happy about it either. We just decided I should tell you.
God, I thought he was only supposed to take 10%.
We were here. And then afterwards...
After he made love to you, what?
We went to the Hard Rock Cafe.
What time?
I don't know, 11, 11:30. But I felt I had to tell you in case anyone saw us there. It was a dumb thing to do.
How long has this been going on?
3 years.
3 years?
I'm sorry.
This has been going on since the 80s?
I'm sorry, I just can't be here right now.
Shoulders slumped, he plods down Trudy's stairs. Slowly, he begins to shake his hips until he's dancing, legs shimmying, arms swimming, fingers pointing. Later, he talks to the digital road sign.
Yes, yes, L.A., I love you! I'm out of my relationship, I'm out of the agency, and I only had to look like a sucker for 3 years!
Now, if I could only get out of doing the weather.
The weather will change your life.
Will you stop just predicting stuff? Have you always been a freeway sign? I mean, did you start out as a stop sign and work your way up to a street light and then become a billboard?
I believe I was reincarnated from a bagpipe.
The sign says, listen.
Oh, all right. Well, if you get your voice back, will you stop predicting?
Read my lights.
Yes. The weather will change your life. Twice?
Later in the newsroom.
Hey, so I pre-taped the weather report and some weekend sailors lost some boats.
And,
big deal. If they're rich enough to have boats, they're rich enough to lose them. Besides, what kind of an asshole sailor would trust the wacky weatherman anyway?
This one.
You lost your boat?
Yes. You're fired. I never want to see your face again.
Elevator doors close between them, then reopen.
I said, I never want to see your face again. You're fired.
The doors close. Harris shakes his head. Then his eyes lift.
The weather will change your life twice. That's once.
Hey, Harris. Heard you and Trudy broke up. Always figured your relationship was a two.
Harris bangs the critic's head against the fire alarm.
If confusion about your love life is ruining your day, I think it's good to go over to your best friend's house and ruin her day, too.
Harris and Ariel.
When I really analyze it, Trudy wasn't for me anyway. The only good times we had were having sex and laying in bed watching TV. That's a good term.
I hate to tell you this, Harris, but if you can find somebody you can have sex with and lie in bed and watch TV, you've really got something.
What happened to my plan?
So anybody else out there on the horizon?
I mean, someone I like, but it's impossible.
Does she like you?
I don't know.
Why don't you just call this Sandy girl? I mean, at least you'd have somebody to take places.
Now a sign reads California Colonic Institution.
Thanks a lot, it was great.
Sandy hops down the stairs, blonde curls bouncing.
So, what do you think?
I think it was a total washout.
God, it really clears out your head.
Head? You should go back in there and tell them they're doing it wrong. Well, it was a great lunch and enema, thanks.
So are you going to see me again?
Yeah, sure, if you want to.
When?
Friday. Is Friday okay?
Yeah.
Okay, where do you want to go?
Oh, well, there's this new restaurant. It's supposed to be really great. It's on Sunset. Lidio,
I've heard of that, sure. Lidio, you and me on Friday.
Okay.
Hello, Lidio. Yes, I'd like to make reservations for two for Friday. Saturday? Sunday? Ah, good. 8:30? 5:30 or 10:30? 5:30. Visa. I'm a weatherman. Yes, I'm on TV. Renting. I just sold a condo. Yes, in this soft market. Well, I don't see how that's any bit. In the low 50s. Yeah, I could meet you there at 3.
Inside a heavily guarded bank.
I have Visa and I have MasterCard.
They all have Visa and MasterCard.
I think what Mr. Pardue is looking for is more than a promise to pay. I think he's looking for a kind of depth in your financial sea, so to speak.
Let us make this easier. Suppose you get a reservation. And let us suppose you come down to the restaurant and we honor it.
A chef passes him a menu.
What do you think you might order?
Well,
I might like to have the duck.
You can't have the duck.
You can't have the duck.
Why?
You think with a financial statement like this, you can have the duck? Where do you summer?
What do you mean?
Where do you spend your summers?
Right here.
You can have the chicken.
You can have the chicken.
What about my date? I can't tell her what to order.
Well, you can certainly urge her in one direction.
Look, either we go there and she orders what she wants, or let's forget it.
The restaurant manager's quick fingers punch a calculator while Harris watches anxiously.
All right. I like a little gamble. We can take you in 8 weeks.
Hi, Sandy. Listen, I've heard some bad things about Lady O. And I went down there to check it out, and the chef had a big open sore on his lip. Yeah, I know. I know I did. I'm really sorry. What if we went away for the weekend, like Santa Barbara?
Yeah, totally beautiful!
Roland thinks L.A. is a place for the brain dead. He says if you turned off the sprinklers, it would turn into a desert. But I think... oh, no, it's not what I expected. It's a place where they've taken a desert and turned it into their dreams.
Sarah speaks into a micro recorder. Meanwhile, Sandy practices in Spokes modeling class.
I've seen a lot of L.A., and I think it's also a place of secrets. Secret houses, secret lives, secret pleasures. And no one is looking to the outside for verification that what they're doing is all right.
Later, Sarah and Roland stroll through an art museum.
So what do you say, Roland?
I still say it's a place for the brain dead.
Why do you have to be so snotty? Really, I think you're just being superior. I've met some pretty intelligent people here in Los Angeles.
Sarah and Roland walk through one gallery as Harris roller skates past another, striking a samba pose. He slips on water. He tumbles into Sarah.
Good Lord. God, I'm sorry. Are you...
Oh.
Hi.
This is one of the people I was telling you about. You know, Harris Telemacher, this is Roland Mackie. We met at lunch.
Have you tried the Guggenheim?
I get that. I really do, because it's circular and it goes downhill.
I got it. Oh, hi.
Ariel, this is Roland Mackie and Sarah McDowell.
Hi.
Hi.
I loved your wacky TV bit.
Thanks, I loved yours too.
But I didn't...
You know, I can explain this.
Very simple thing.
Oh, I see. It's a thing that I do regularly.
That's marvelously funny. You have a lot of verve.
Verve?
Would you like to walk around with this?
I like the relationships. I mean, each character has his own story. I mean, puppy is a bit too much, but you have to overlook things like that in these kind of paintings. But the way he's holding her, it's almost filthy. I mean, he's about to kiss her, and she's pulling away. The way the leg is sort of smashed up against her. Look how he's painted the blouse, sort of translucent. You can just make out her breast underneath, and it's, you know, sort of touching him about here. Really pretty torrid, don't you think? Then, of course, you have the onlookers peeking at them from behind the doorway like they're all shocked. They wish. Yeah, I must admit, when I see a painting like this, I get emotionally erect.
The abstract canvas is painted a solid orange color. The four slowly drift away. Later, they leave together.
Well, that was terrific. All those paintings of food made me hungry.
I could eat some paintings of food myself. Well, it was fun.
Yes, lovely to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Great running into you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. What were you doing in there?
That's the girl I was telling you about.
Oh, well, you've really blown it now, pal.
Why don't we all go somewhere for dinner?
You know, I've heard of this happening where you meet someone coincidentally and then end up going out to dinner with them, but it never actually happened to me. This guy loves
me. Everybody does, Harris.
We can stop by Lydio.
Oh, great. I've heard about that place.
I should warn you, we'll never get in Lydio. It's impossible.
Where's the phone? Back in a jiff.
Suit yourself.
Look, I gotta meet June. I can't go with you. Do you think they could take you home?
I don't want to impose.
Oh, it's no problem. I've got two cars.
Great. Ariel, excuse me. Are you coming?
Nope, I can't.
Dinner for three. It's all set. How should we do this?
Well, why doesn't he come with me, since you know where it is?
Yeah. I know where it is and she doesn't, and that would be perfect. So I could tell her where it was, because if I went with you, then there'd be two people in one car who knew where it was and one person who didn't, and we would end up drawing a map or something. Unless I drove your car and you went with her. Is Roland your boyfriend?
No, just friends.
Oh, it's good. I mean, it's fine. It's fine then. I mean, I can drive with you.
She drives on the wrong side of the road.
Right side. Right side. Right there! Oh, wait!
I don't think he can hear you.
Outside Lidio, photographers and autograph hounds clamor as celebrities emerge from limousines. Inside, a television monitor shows the Lidio customer database. A white arrow follows the arrivals while information flashes. Carlo Christopher, latest film, 72 million. House, Bel Air, tip average 22%. Christopher and his date approach the maitre d'.
Your usual table, Mr. Christopher? No, I'd like a good one this time.
I'm sorry, that is impossible.
Part of the new cruelty?
I'm afraid so. Table 253.
New cruelty. Yes, what do you want?
Would you like to hear our specials? I'm gonna tell you what we got to eat. We got primavera pasta, six different kinds of meat. We got side cuts, end cuts, covered with a goo called hollandaise, baronaise, and we can broil it too.
Gee, I'm done already, and I don't remember eating.
He squints at a tiny lobster.
We got crab cakes, zucchini flakes, artichokes, and more. Santa Barbara oysters on a bed of grilled radicchio, spicy guacamole, and a brie quesadilla. We got goat cheese pizza on a blue contour table.
Floss? I'll have floss.
Diet or regular?
Regular.
We got hot bread, milk-fed, veal and new potatoes, and 100 different ways to cook a couple of tomatoes. If the service is a problem because the place is packed, that's for me, I'm Shania Waiter, and I also act.
Beautiful patrons floss their teeth while Harris and Sarah laugh. Later, outside.
I'll take you home. I live close to you.
What?
I live close to you. I'll take you home.
Sure, Roland.
The cars are here.
Great. Listen, I'll take him home. He lives close to me.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah, no problem.
All right. Well, that's perfect since I live in the valley.
Maybe I should take a cab. The drive over was a bit risky.
Terry's a silly. Get in.
Sarah, I promise you'll see me this weekend.
I will. I promise.
See you at the weekend.
Bye.
Bye.
Sarah gets behind the wheel. Harris buckles up and crosses himself. Two cars crash behind them. Later, they squeal to a stop outside his house. Harris fumbles out of the car, his hands chasing after his hat.
It was fun.
Yes, it was.
I like Roland a lot.
Yes, he's nice, isn't he?
Yeah. I think it's interesting that you can have a relationship with a man, and, you know, that's not, you know, that's friendly more than sexual. So, good night.
Good night.
As they turn to face a sudden breeze, the car's wheels coast forward.
Car's rolling.
Car!
It's locked.
It's locked here, too.
Your side is locked. Where are the keys?
Well, they're in the car, of course.
Well, what are they doing in the car?
Well, they're in the ignition.
Well, how'd
the
car get locked?
I didn't lock the car.
They're in
the ignition.
Of course you locked it. How can it get locked? We'll stop it from rolling.
Stop it. Are we on a hill?
Yes, but it slopes the other way. It goes that way. Pull. No, I got it.
I got it.
Yes, look at it.
Oh. He breaks off a chrome rod.
Oh, my God.
Suddenly, the headlights flash and the front doors snap open.
My God.
I think I know what this is.
My God.
I think I know what this is. Get in.
What?
Get in.
No, it's all right.
You can trust me. No, go ahead.
I'm telling you.
He inadvertently waves the rod in her face. She jumps in.
Stay in.
He gets in and the doors suddenly shut.
I think we're fine. I really do. I think we're fine. Don't claw me. Get over here. You get over here.
Why?
Let me not drive.
What makes you think you can drive better than me? I'm driving for you.
Under its own power, the car glides slowly forward onto the freeway. As they arrive at the digital road sign, the doors open automatically.
This is the sign I was telling you about. What is it?
Paris. I think I figured out the moving car. You know what it could be? I read an article in the Times on induction, and my brothers found out that you can generate electrical currents in rabbits if you...
Behind them, the sign glows, "Kiss her, you fool." Paris grabs Sarah's shoulders and kisses her.
Pass a strong magnetic field along their bodies, so what it could be, and I think I know the sign's from...
Paris embraces her as the sign directs, "Kiss her again." Hearts and lips float across the screen. He reads the next message, which appears in the form of thought balloons behind Sarah's head. "Let your mind go and your body will follow."
My head hurts. I think I should go.
Later, they arrive at Harris's house and stand awkwardly outside the car.
You want to come in?
Why?
Yeah, sorry. Moving too fast. We should see each other again, don't you think?
Yes. I suppose. Yeah.
What's today?
Thursday.
Weekend?
I should tell you I'm supposed to see my ex this weekend. I'm sorry. I promised it's a deal.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I've got a few things to untangle myself this weekend. My mother throws this bridge luncheon, and I really should be there. I'm supposed to go to this fundraising dinner tomorrow. It's formal, you know, but I thought maybe to take a hog like you would be... fantastic. Not a date, you know, just a do. You interested in that?
All right.
All right?
Yeah, all right.
All right. So I'll take that as a yes.
Okay.
Great.
Bye.
Bye.
I think it's wonderful you see your mother. It reminds me I should call mine.
Yeah, you've got your ex, and I've got that whole bridge thing. So.
He joyfully tosses his hat behind his back, catching it with the opposite hand. Later, in her bedroom, Sarah dials the phone.
Hello, Mom.
Hello, darling. How are you?
I'm fine. Are you busy?
Yes, I'm making 56 papier-mâché hats.
Do you feel like playing something?
Always, darling. The usual.
Sarah puts her tuba to her lips. A montage of L.A. night scenes reveals street grids jeweled with lights and highways flowing with streams of red and white car lights. In his bed, Harris sleeps soundly. Meanwhile, the digital road sign glows with the riddle, "How Daddy is doing."
Night-night, Mom.
The next morning, Sarah, in her bathrobe, throws darts, missing the target every single time. She throws one into a photo of Harris hitting his rear end and gives a small, uncertain smile. Later, Harris drives to Sarah's house on a palm tree-lined street. He exits the car, formally dressed in a black tuxedo, starched white shirt, and dark sunglasses. Hearing the tuba, he looks around curiously for the source of the noise, then shrugs. He pauses to listen outside her door, then rings the bell.
Hi.
Hi.
You play the tuba?
No. I used to. I do, but not now. I mean, I was before you arrived. I did. I've forgotten something. Just a minute. Ready?
fine. I'm just going out too much. Shouldn't be going out tonight. You know how the feeling is when you go out too much? You feel like you never stay home.
Are you upset about last night?
No, not at all. I think I understand it. My car started moving, and 10 minutes later, your tongue was in my mouth.
That wasn't my tongue. That was a lozenge.
My mouth shouldn't be accepting other people's lozenges right now.
At a gas station.
You're a passionate person. You just keep denying it. You're covering up. Why don't you just relax and give in to it?
Well, you don't.
What? I'm the one who can hardly contain myself when I'm around you. I'm practically tap dancing every time I see you.
Well, yes, that's the trouble. You're roller skating, you're amusing yourself and your friends and me. It's just a lot of noise, isn't it?
What do you mean?
I mean, we all have ways of preventing ourselves from getting hurt. It's just yours.
So what are you saying, that we should just forget it?
Oh, if that's what you want, fine.
Oh, fine.
Full service or self-service, Harris?
Full service, Tony.
In fast action, attendants surround the car like a pit crew. They raise the hood, lift the car on racks, rotate the tires, and hand Harris a cool drink. Later at the fundraising dinner.
And I knew it was a great project. If the city were willing to partially finance my private museum, it would be a great bonus for the people. And so, I met with Ron. Ron, I toast you.
Are you all right?
I don't know, I just feel a little dizzy. I should get some air, I just feel nauseous.
Hand on stomach, Harris excuses himself from the table. Sarah excuses herself and follows him out.
And Ron felt like I did.
Outside.
What's the matter?
I don't know. Something in my stomach or my head or my heart or something.
Is there anything I can do?
He kisses her.
Oh, no, I can't. This is how Mommy met Daddy.
Let your mind go and your body will follow.
They turn in surprise at the sight of a wild fawn grazing on the estate's manicured lawn. Harris gently grasps Sarah's upper arm and leads her behind the palm fronds. They sink to the ground. Light from a three-quarter moon glistens in a fountain's pool.
And now, let us all move forward with great enthusiasm to build the greatest private museum in the world.
As they return to the table, a silver-haired woman's eyes widen as she spies one of Sarah's buttons undone.
Are you feeling any better?
Much better, thank you.
Yes, thanks.
Harris's face glows. Sarah smirks and dusts off his shoulder. The woman returns to her glass of wine and drinks deeply. Later.
We didn't know what to say to each other, so we wandered down Melrose and had the kind of small talk conversation necessary to cover over what had just happened.
The station wants me back. They want to try the serious news.
Oh, yeah?
You know, with me as the anchor. Uh-huh. No laughing or chit-chat. Kind of nervous about it.
So there I was, jabbering at her about my new job as a serious newsman, about anything at all. But all I could think was, wonderful, 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 and most wonderful, and yet again, wonderful.
Strange how my heart beats.
Harris and Sarah pass through a neon-lit entryway, ablaze with pink flamingos, palm trees, shooting stars, and the letters L.A. The garish neon dissolves as they enter an enchanted garden. Softly lit archways frame a fountain flowing skyward. Doves hover while leaves stir in a gentle breeze. Flowers burst into bloom in the evening air as Harris and Sarah walk by holding hands.
Cool waves wash over and drift away with dreams.
Magically, their images become two children. The girls' tiny feet walk a brick pathway in oversized red high heels. Two lion statues bow as they pass. The boy and girl kiss nose to nose as fluttering doves take wing. Daytime. At home, Harris scrapes bored beyond belief from his window. Outside Sandy's apartment building, Harris passes a flame blower, a parrot trainer, and a chainsaw juggler.
Hey! Who wrote the Tonight Show theme?
Paul Anka.
Yes!
Oh, God.
Where are we staying when we get there?
Don't bounce just for a second. I just came to tell you this. I can't go away with you. I just can't.
Shit.
I've been seeing someone, and we've got something going. I don't know what, but it just really wouldn't be right for me to go away with you. I'm really sorry.
Oh. Well, so you've seen her this weekend?
No, no. She's got this obligation to her ex-husband to see if they can get it back together again.
What, she's seen someone else?
Yes, yes, she's going away with them, yes.
God, Cher, how that makes you feel.
Cher, how it makes me feel? I hate it. It drives me crazy. I mean, how could she go away with them? I mean, especially since I've been working out. I mean, look at this, the effort I put into it. But it's fair. I mean, it is fair because she had this obligation way before we even met.
But you had this obligation before you fell for her. So why should you suffer all weekend?
No. Just no.
So go away with me.
I can't. Don't you see? I would just be using you to get even with her for going away with him.
I don't mind.
Let's go.
Great. Woo!
All right. We should be in Santa Barbara in an hour and a half, and I booked us into the El Pollo Del Mar. It's supposed to be really nice.
Oh, my God. It's so beautiful there. Wave to Jack. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, my God. There's a million stars there and the beach. I want to spin on the beach.
They have a special beach up there just for spinning. Oh. And Sandy, you know, I think it should just be a vacation, you know, just friends. I don't think we should make love, all right?
Okay, we'll just have sex.
She pulls out a Trivial Pursuit card.
What was Sam Spade's partner's name?
Archer.
Yes!
I thought we might bump into people we know at the San Isidro, so I booked us into the El Pollo Del Mar. I'm so looking forward to this.
Sarah yanks a hat onto her head, sighs, and folds her arms.
Me too. Okay. Who knew Groucho's secret word?
Groucho's secret word. Oh, God. I give up.
The duck?
The duck! The duck knew. Say the secret word and divide $100.
So when the Wittgenstein house was built in Austria, one could say that philosophy of language had definitely hit the Bauhaus. Don't you think?
I saw the house a couple of years ago.
Okay. Who played the Beeve?
Jerry Mathers.
Yes!
Oh, wind, if winter comes, can spring be far behind?
Beautiful.
Oh, who was Howdy Doody's closest friend?
Buffalo Bob.
Yes, good!
At the El Pollo Del Mar Hotel, water jets from the mouth of a fish-shaped fountain. Goldfish swim beneath the lily pads. White Spanish-style adobe walls stand capped with red-tiled roofs. Harris's car passes through the gates. Valets rush to their doors.
Oh, my God, this is fantastic. This is great. Do they have a pool here?
They have a pool. They have a pool
right there. I love this place.
She jumps on his back, slides down, and gooses him playfully. Roland's blue convertible pulls in as Harris and Sandy are led to their room. Walking toward the hotel, Roland puts his arm around Sarah and hugs her to his chest. She swats him with her hat. Meanwhile, Sandy wraps her arms around Harris in the hallway as a bellhop opens the door to their room. He follows them inside, carrying their bags. Immediately behind him, another bellhop leads Roland and Sarah to their quarters, next door. Harris steps back into the hallway to tip his bellhop just as Roland and Sarah disappear into their room.
Oh, my God! Isn't this breeze the greatest? Woo!
It really feels great.
I love hotel sheets, and they feel so good against your bare skin.
I'll put your bag in here.
Come here first.
From the bed, Sandy bats her eyes. She grips his shirt front, pulling him down. Harris kisses her, pats her shoulder, and starts to walk away.
Come here again.
Harris places his palm alongside her face, cupping her cheek. She reaches for his hand and guides it to her breast. A puzzled frown passes over his face.
Sandy, your breasts feel weird.
Oh, that's because they're real.
She pulls him on top of her.
Hey, let me get this shoe off. Oh, my God. All right, now, I should warn you that...
What?
I'm old, and it might take a little while. Oh, my God, I'm young again! I'm young again!
It's been great to see you again, Sarah.
It's been nice seeing you, too.
How are you?
Oh. Well, I'm confused.
Hey, listen to this.
What?
Listen.
Roland and Sarah press their ears against the bedroom wall.
What on earth are they doing in there?
Oh, God, they're going crazy. Sarah.
He throws her onto the bed. Harris and Sandy emerge from under their blankets and gaze adoringly into each other's eyes. A cartoon thought balloon appears over Harris's head, depicting Sarah's face. Sandy sighs as Mel Gibson appears in her balloon. They disappear under the covers again. Meanwhile, as Sarah and Roland tussle, Harris's face floats over Sarah's head, while Roland's fantasy reveals Mel Gibson. Harris drinks champagne in bed.
You know, before we left, Jack told me he wants to make our relationship exclusive again.
You mean he's not going to go out anymore?
I don't think he ever did. He could never get a date. And you know, seeing me going out drove him nuts, too.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I mean, I really like him, even though he's not so smart.
Look. Through the wall.
What is it?
Somebody's doing it.
Oh, how beautiful.
They're really excited. They must be cheating on someone.
Freshly dressed, Harris stands in the hallway looking for his keys. Sarah pops out of her doorway. Sandy jumps into Harris's arms. Stunned, they stare at each other.
Woo! Key.
Roland joins Sarah.
My God, I don't believe it. Are you staying here?
Yes, we are.
Oh, sir, there goes our cover. There's no such thing as a secret.
I think there is.
Sarah shoots Harris a frosty glare.
Oh, Roland, this is Sandy.
Hi.
Sandy, this is Roland.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm Sarah.
Hi.
Where are you headed?
Ooh, to the restaurant.
Well, that's where we were going. Why didn't you join us?
Oh, that would be neat.
No, really, you guys should be alone.
Don't be silly. We can't both sit in the same restaurant and pretend to be alone. Come on.
Oh, cool.
Sarah breezes past Harris. He looks up at a curious Roland.
Hi.
Hello.
What's that clanging sound?
It's a nuisance. It's my damn testicles.
Harris gapes, then follows. Later, on the beach, the piercing light of a full moon glows through blue-black clouds. Waves break over the sand as the two couples walk past.
Is it okay to spin here?
Yeah, sure.
Woo!
Shall I get your sweater? I'm a little cold.
Yes, thanks.
I'll run up and get it. Harris, do you want to come with me?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
I'll just stay here. Back in a flash.
He runs to the hotel.
You liar, you big fat liar!
Here I am, innocently driving up to Santa Barbara, thinking you're seeing your ex-husband, and instead you're right next door giving it to my best friend.
Your best friend? Since when is Roland your best friend?
He and I are very close.
You've never even seen him without me.
That doesn't matter. There's a bond among men. Anyway, there's two liars here.
Yeah? Roland is my ex-husband.
Okay, one.
Sandy performs a perfect cartwheel.
Great!
Thank you.
Why didn't you tell me you just broke up with someone?
How do you know I just broke up with someone?
Because when men just break up with someone, they always run around with someone much too young for them.
She's not so young. She'll be 27 in 4 years.
I tried to get out of it. I'm up here with her, and all I can think about is you.
So that's why you made love to her this afternoon?
Yes! I know that doesn't make a lot of sense. And why me in this? You practically broke through our wall. You know how that made me feel, hearing you with someone else?
You didn't even know it was me till later.
Yeah, but I projected back when I found out. Coming!
Roland jogs down the hotel's stairs, waving a sweater.
We're so close. We're this close to it. Stay here in L.A.
What would I do if I stayed? How would it work?
We'd see each other, not push it. You know, take it easy the first couple of days, and then marriage, kids, old age, and death. I don't know.
And if I were to go?
All I know is, on the day your plane was to leave, if I had the power, I would turn the winds around. I would roll in the fog. I would bring in storms. I would change the polarity of the Earth so compasses couldn't work, so your plane couldn't take off.
Coming!
Woo!
Roland runs toward them. Sandy twirls on the sand.
This is everything I didn't want. Pain. Lying. Complications.
I'm hot from running now. Let's all walk down the pier.
Oh, cool. Do you ever wonder why the water just doesn't fly off into the sky?
The couples walk away. Morning. Harris and Sandy pack the car.
Do you want this in the trunk or up front?
That? Up front.
She points like a spokesmodel from the teddy bear to the front seat.
Hi.
Hello.
What's the matter? You okay?
Huh? Oh, sorry. I'm okay. I've been working on Sarah to come back with me. I'm her ex-husband. That's the difference between England and America. The English maintain civil relationships with their exes. Americans kill them.
Harris and Roland sit together on a step.
She told me today she doesn't think it's right.
Really?
She's evidently been seeing some American.
Yeah, that can happen, yeah.
She's not going with him either. She decided to go back to London as soon as she can.
Oh.
Pity. I so wanted this to work out. I wanted a relationship. You know, like you and Sandy have.
Roland sighs heavily. Harris lowers his head. Later, at Sarah's house, Harris kicks open her door.
I've been thinking about myself, and I think I can become the kind of person that's worth you staying for. First of all, I'm a man who can cry. Now, it's true, it's usually when I've hurt myself, but it's a start. You see, I know there's something that would make you stay. I know it. I know there's some move I could make, the right word, attitude, plan, but these are all just tricks. These are all just things I would think up and try, so let's forgo that. Let's assume that whatever that thing is, that whatever it is that would make you stay has occurred, that it has happened, and that my hand has already gone down your throat and grabbed your heart and squoze it.
Ow! Because there comes a time in everyone's life when it's now or never. It's now or never. Let me read you from this book of poems. Oh, pointy birds, oh, pointy, pointy, anoint...
She slams the window closed. Now, Harris on TV.
And now, here's Morris Frost with a cinema review.
The film, Slice Up Mommy.
At the airport, Sarah returns her car keys to the rental desk.
I'd like to turn this car in, please.
And now, the weather report. Sunny, 72.
And that's the weather. Our next weather report will be in 4 days.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after this commercial ad.
She sees Harris on TV, then walks away. Off camera, Harris stares blankly.
Why is it that we don't always recognize the moment when love begins? But we always know when it ends.
Thank you.
Sarah stands in line.
Your final destination is London?
In his darkening house, Harris sits in the gloom, his brooding gaze locked on a digital clock as its numbers roll to 7:30. Sarah coasts upward along an escalator toward her gate. Inside the plane's cockpit, the pilot speaks into a headset and flicks switches on the control panel in front of him. The jet turbines slowly whirl. On board, Sarah buckles her seatbelt, eyes downcast. From his armchair, Harris stares, his glare penetrating. The plane's wheels roll slowly toward the runway, while its cone-shaped nose points through the clear night. On the freeway, the digital road sign stands darkened. Suddenly, its bulbs flash haywire in random bursts of light. At home, Harris leans forward, peering intently at the round dial of an indoor barometer. Its thin arrow moves from very dry to change. Looking out her window, Sarah notices a sudden fog surrounding the plane. The fog obscures the pilot's view of the runway. Dark clouds boil overhead, then unleash a downpour. The light darkens around Harris. His eyes narrow as the twirling top of a wind gauge on his desk starts to spin wildly. Outside, trees thrash in the storm. Lightning flares. Sarah watches in awe through the plane's window. On a highway, traffic slows. Clouds speed across the pitch-black sky as the signpost continues to blink wildly. The pilot taps his compass as it spins out of control. His other gauges swing in circles. He slowly applies the brake and the plane rolls gently to a stop. Harris's hand reaches toward a pane of glass just as Sarah places a palm against her own window. The light bulbs on the highway sign burst, exploding like fireworks. Car lights passing on the freeway form flashing ribbons of white and red. Harris walks outside into the driving rain. A taxi pulls up to the curb. He sees Sarah in the back seat.
That's twice.
Sarah climbs out, a suitcase in one hand, her tuba in the other. They stare at each other, immobile. Suddenly, she drops both cases and walks forward, staring imploringly. They embrace in the whirling wind and rain, kissing passionately, then look into each other's eyes. The last of the dark clouds passes over the moon.
Forget for this moment the smog and the cars and the restaurants and the skating. Remember only this. A kiss may not be the truth, but it is what we wish were true.
Later at the digital road sign.
Wow! That was something! That was really something!
It was fantastic.
It had real class. Is there anything we can do to thank you? I mean, a gift or anything?
The sign reads, yes.
Name it.
I'd like to get cable TV.
Done. I never could figure out the riddle, though.
You will know what to do when you unscramble how Daddy is doing.
It's a riddle, too tough for me.
I know what it is. An English crossword clue. See, unscramble means you rearrange the letters of how Daddy is doing. So, let's see. Put the S in front of the H. Move the ing after the S. Put the do up after them. Swap the H and the S. And put the I behind the D and sing do wa diddy.
Sing, do, wah, diddy, that's the mystery of the ages?
It replies, I had to think up something fast.
I sat up nights working on that. But I forgive you. There's one thing I need to know. Did you do this? Did I do this? How did this happen? Hey, you got your voice back.
It reads, There are more things in heaven and earth, Harris, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. The screen is ablaze with all of its lights. The lights begin to dissolve. Slowly, condition clear is spelled over the screen. Content, Harris smiles. In an aerial view, other digital road signs along the highways echo the same message. Throughout Los Angeles, street lamps burst into a dazzling blaze of light.
There are only two things in my life I will never forget. One is that there is someone for everyone. Even if you need a pickaxe, a compass, and night goggles to find them. And the other is tonight, when I learned that romance does exist deep in the heart of L.A.
Harris and Sarah embrace. The sign flashes. What I really want to do is direct.
There she was, just walking down the street singing.
This film has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH, Boston. Described by Eileen Silverstone. Descriptions read by Madge Kaplan. Funding provided by the United States Department of Education. For a complete listing of DVS programs and services, call toll-free 1-800-333-1203. Credits roll. Executive producers Mario Cassar and Steve Martin. Director of Photography Andrew Dunn. Film editor Richard A. Harris. Production designer Lawrence Miller. Casting by Mindy Marin, CSA. Music by Peter Melnick. Costume designer Rudy Dillon. Film editor Richard A. Harris. Production designer Lawrence Miller. Cast Steve Martin as Harris. Victoria Tennant as Sarah. Richard E. Grant as Roland. Mary Lou Henner as Trudy, Sarah Jessica Parker as Sandy, Susan Forrestal as Ariel, Kevin Pollack as Frank Swan, Sam McMurray as Morris Frost, Patrick Stewart as Maitre D' at Lidio, Andrew Amador as male news reporter, Gail Great as female news reporter, Eddie DeHarp as Maitre D' at Brunch, MC Shan as rap waiter at Lidio, Frances Fisher as June, Iman as Cynthia, Tommy Hinckley as Ted, Larry Miller as Tom, Ann Crawford as Sharon, Samantha Caulfield as Sheila, Thornton Simmons as Man, Dennis Dragon as Crook, Richard Stahl as Bank Executive, Aaron Lustig as Boring Speaker, Juliana McCarthy as Woman, Time Winters as Floss Waiter at Lidio, Pierre Epstein as Chef, Wesley Thompson as Jesse, George Plimpton as Straight Weatherman, David G. Price as pilot, Wesley Mann as gas station attendant, Mark Stern, Jamie Gomez, and Amy Wallace as Todd production assistants, Cheryl Baker as changing room woman, Mary R. Boss as old woman, Scott Johnston as co-pilot, Robert Lynn as chainsaw juggler, Tony Marsico as hard rock patron, Bert Knack as cameraman, Mary Peterson as airline ticket agent, Matt Stetson as spokesmodel teacher. And in cameo appearances, Woody Harrelson as KYOY news producer, Chevy Chase as Carlo Christopher, stunt coordinator Joe Dunn, unit production manager Chris Coles, first assistant director Albert Shapiro, second assistant director Albert Cho, art director Charles Breen, set director Chris Butler, set dresser Douglas Vaughn, on-set dresser Michael Cohen, camera operator Ed Gold, first camera assistant, Patty Vanover. Second camera assistant, Lane Russell. Loader, Adam Alphen. Post-production supervisor, Michael R. Sloan. Post-production coordinator, Nuri Denahi. Assistant editor, Jane Cass. Apprentice editor, Michael Rafferty. Supervising sound editors, Mark Steckinger and Lon Bender. Sound editors, Neil Berger, Stuart Copley, Richard King, Lou Kleinman, Steve Mann, Glenn T. Morgan, Raoul, and Asher Yates. Supervising ADR editor, Larry Kemp. ADR editor Mary Andrews. Assistant sound editors Kevin Barilla, Robert Ratha, and Gina Spiro. Production sound mixer Jim Webb. Cable puller Harrison Duke Marsh. Boom operator Douglas Vaughn. Re-recording mixers Richard Portman, Andrew Naple. Re-recorded by Todd A.O. Glenn Studios. Recordist James S. Stewart. Orchestrators Stephen Bernstein and Oscar Castres Nevis. Music copyist Janice Hayen. Scoring mixer Michael Stone. Music contractor Sandy DeCrescent. Music clearance Celeste Ray. Supervising music editor Kathleen Bennett. Music editing Segway Music. Gaffer Edward A. Ayer. Best boy electrician Ted J. Credo. Electricians Warren Kroger, James Crawford, Jeff Phelps, and Mike Blimmer. Key grip Gene Kearney. Best boy grip Jack Bauer. Dolly grip Joe Hicks. Grips Jesse Chavez, Charles Waite, Ron Peoples, and Gary Jensen. Special effects coordinator Alan E. Lorimer. Special effects Lambert Powell. Optical effects coordinator Chuck Comiskey. Men's costumer Nick Scarano. Women's costumer Rosemary Fall. Costumer Lisa Stewart. Mr. Martin's costumer Dennis Schunderwerd. Makeup artist Robert Osterman. Makeup artist to Mr. Martin Frank Griffin. Hairstylist Joy Zapata. Hairstylist to Mr. Martin Tony Walker. Production coordinator Sydney Bernard. Assistant production coordinator Gina Fortunato. Production accountant Raymond G. Zimmerman. Production auditor Catherine Mindala. Assistant auditor Jane Harrison. Location manager Jerry Ariganello. Assistant location manager Elizabeth Matthews. Still photographer Marcia Reed. Script supervisor Pamela Elk. Unit publicist Tom Gray. Assistant publicist Sally Jean Esposito. Publicity PMK Public Relations. International publicity Dennis Davidson Associates. Property master Philip Stewart. Properties Roy Bucky Moore. Construction coordinator Steve Callis. Construction foreman Mike Wells. Paint foreman Francesco Poloni. Construction auditor Dennis Miyamoto. Lead man Mike Schmidt. Second lead man Dean Welch. Swing gang Peter Angles and Greg Zemgals. Standby painter Ed O'Connell. Transportation coordinator Tim Hill. Transportation captain Don Arnold Sr. Assistant to Mr. Martin Eileen Waterstone. Assistant to Mr. Melnick Nancy Hobson. Assistant to Mr. Rackmill Elizabeth Weilman. Assistant to Mr. Jackson Anne L. Trope. Mr. Martin's roller skating instructor, Debbie Merrill. Production assistants, Christina Fong, Steve Cowie, Diana Louie, Chris Farley, Jonathan Gordon, Keith Friedman, and Steve Buhai. Production designer assistant, Diane McKinnon. Costume designer assistant, Beverly Klein. Locations assistant, Ron McGee. Casting assistant, Amy Wallace. Animal trainer, Boone Narr. Greensman, Randy Martins. Standby greensman, Neil David Pontecorvo. Sign programmer, David Fromm. Sign technician, Mike Kennard. Craft Service, Rich Harris and Shirley Randalls. First Aid, Anthony L. Packett. Negative Cutter, Precision Film Cutting, Incorporated. Color by Technicolor. Color Timer, Bob Kaiser. Opticals and Titles by Pacific Title. Matte Shots, Illusion Arts. Dolby Stereo Consultant, Steve F.B. Smith. Financial Service, Franz J. Affman. Completion Bond Services provided by Complete Film Corporation. Production Insurance provided by Albert G. Rubin and Company, Incorporated. Production Financing provided by Credit Lyonnais Bank Nederland, N.V. Epona, written by Enya, performed by Enya, courtesy of Atlantic Recording Corporation's BBC Enterprises Limited, by arrangement with Warner Special Products. Exile, written by Enya, Roma Ryan, and Nikki Ryan, performed by Enya, courtesy of WEA Records Limited, Geffen Records, by arrangement with Warner Special Products. On Your Shore, written by Enya, Roma Ryan, and Nikki Ryan, performed by Enya, courtesy of WEA Records Limited, Geffen Records, by arrangement with Warner Special Products. I've Had My Moments, written by Gus Kahn and Walter Donaldson, performed by Stefan Grappelli and Django Reinhardt, courtesy of Vogue Records, by arrangement with GNP Crescendo Records. La Mer, written by Charles Trenet, performed by Django Reinhardt and the quintet of the Hot Club of France with Stefan Grappelli, courtesy of RCA Records, a division of BMG Music. Do Wah Diddy Diddy, written by Jeff Barry and Ellie Greenwich, performed by Manfred Mann, courtesy of EMI, a division of Capitol Records Incorporated, by arrangement with SEMA Special Markets. La Mer, written by Charles Trenet, performed by Charles Trenet, courtesy of Capitol Records Incorporated, by arrangement with SEMA Special Markets. You Drive Me to Distraction, written by Chaz Sanford and Charles Judge, performed by Big World. Wild Thing, written by Chip Taylor, performed by Seeds of Love, featuring Jimmy Wood, produced by Carl Seelove. Ain't That a Shame, written by Antoine Fats Domino and Dave Bartholomew, performed by Fats Domino, courtesy of Heritage Entertainment Incorporated, by arrangement with Celebrity Licensing Incorporated. Smoke Rings, written by Ned Washington and H. Eugene Gifford, performed by Stefan Grappelli and Django Reinhardt, courtesy of Vogue Records, by arrangement with GNP Crescendo Records. Amazing Grace, arranged by Fairbairn, performed by the Pipes and Drums and Military Band of the Royal Scots Dragoon Guards, courtesy of RCA Records, a division of BMG Music. Clouds, written by Gus Kahn and Walter Donaldson. Air transportation provided by American Airlines, coordinated by Dick Jennings.